In a world of quiet dreams, a girl with eyes so bright, Grace danced through life with love, a pure and gentle light. 19 years of beauty, Down syndrome's tender grace, taken by cold decisions in a sterile shadow place. Oh, Grace, our amazing grace, your spirit softly glows, a fight for truth and freedom, in every heart it grows. Medical walls may falter, but justice still can rise. Grace's light shines on forever, beyond the other sky. Oh, Grace, our amazing grace, your spirit softly glows, a fight for truth and freedom, in every heart it grows. Medical walls may falter, but justice still can rise. Grace's light shines on forever, beyond the other sky. In a world of quiet dreams, a girl with eyes so bright, Grace danced through life with love, a pure and gentle light. 19 years of beauty, Down syndrome's tender grace, taken by cold decisions in a sterile shadow place. Oh, Grace, our amazing grace, your spirit softly glows, a fight for truth and freedom, in every heart it grows. Medical walls may falter, but justice still can rise. Grace's light shines on forever, beyond the autumn sky. Our amazing grace, a mission born of pain, through faith and tender memory, her song will still remain. In a world of quiet dreams, a girl with eyes so bright, Grace danced through life with love, a pure and gentle light. 19 years of beauty, Down syndrome's tender grace, taken by cold decisions in a sterile shadow place. Oh, Grace, our amazing grace, your spirit softly glows, a fight for truth and freedom, in every heart it grows. Medical walls may falter, but justice still can rise. Grace's light shines on forever, beyond the other sky. Oh, Grace, our amazing grace, your spirit softly glows, a fight for truth and freedom, in every heart it grows. Medical walls may falter, but justice still can rise. Grace's light shines on forever, beyond the autumn sky. In a world of quiet dreams, a girl with eyes so bright, Grace danced through life with love, a pure and gentle light. 19 years of beauty, Down syndrome's tender grace, taken by cold decisions in a sterile shadow place. Oh, Grace, our amazing grace, your spirit softly glows, a fight for truth and freedom, in every heart it grows. Medical walls may falter, but justice still can rise. Grace's light shines on forever, beyond the autumn sky. Our amazing grace, a mission born of pain, through faith and tender memory, her song will still remain.
Roger Sherman, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history, and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they say that they cherish, and the freedom they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men. America would be spared a thousand evils if its people would lay the axe to the root of the tree. When we fail to do this, we give permission to the branches, the errors, which only begin to thrust out the truth which it works against. This is the responsibility of the Protestants, and it is the modern-day Protestant that believes what is not taught in the Bible. They practice ordinances that are not based off of scriptural authority. Away with the commandments of men, and down with the traditions that make void the laws of God. Charles Spurgeon.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may miss, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live in the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina. And if you'd like to check us out online, please do so, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Also, sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. You're going to see two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is the show from this morning. It's our Tell It To Me Tuesday. We have the Common Core diva Lynn Taylor on with us. And you want to see how Tiger Woods is now getting involved in indoctrination education. Check that show out. It'll be up until 6 a.m. in the morning, at which time we'll be live there, Lord willing. And then on the left side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It's in the bottom right-hand corner of that video. And if you click on that, that'll take you over into Rumble. We got a lot of friends over there this afternoon. So good afternoon, guys. Good to see you. While you're there, please subscribe to that channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page there. As well as DLive.tv at The Sons of Liberty. And let's see, we're also on Facebook. Several pages that bear my name, friends out there, want to say good afternoon to you guys as well as the guys on DLive. And then our new Sons of Liberty Media Facebook page. If you guys are on Facebook, check that out. We stream over there on that page as well. So be sure and check those out, both morning show and afternoon shows. Come on there. Now, if you've tuned in and you are expecting to hear Bradley Dane, I'm going to be filling in for him for the whole week. So I'll be here all week. Try the veal, right? That's it. In any case, I'll be here each day. And Bradley is taking care of an event. And so he will be back with you soon enough. We may get him to check in with us one day, just see how things are going there. But I thought what we'd do is we'd get right to business today because it's shorter than the morning show. And the gentleman I'm bringing to you is a guy who, I got to tell you, I have so much respect for Scott because the man lost his daughter. Well, he didn't lose her. He knows where she is. But she was taken from him by people who couldn't think any more than what the money purse was going to be, how they could get more, or how they could, you know, take care of somebody who wasn't like them or whatever the case may be. And Scott learned from that. Scott had to learn repentance. And Scott learned how to put his research to use in this. And now they're just weeks away from bringing a landmark lawsuit against a Roman Catholic hospital up in Wisconsin. And here to talk with me about that and give us some updates and things like that is my friend. And I really do feel privileged to call you friend as well as brother, Scott Shara. Good to have you on the afternoon show, brother.
Wow. It's a privilege to call you friend and brother too. Yeah, it's really special that you invited me on the radio today. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I want you to do, Scott, is our afternoon audience may or may not know you. I mean, we've had you on the morning show plenty of times, but I want you to take and you just fill it up here. If we have to go a little bit into the second segment, we'll do that. But go ahead and just kind of, if you can break down what all happened to your daughter, Grace, what brought that on and everything. And if we have to go over a little bit in the second segment, we'll do that. And then kind of get into some of the things that were going. But tell people a little bit about Grace and what you guys experienced just a few years ago during the COVID area.
Sounds good. I like that, the COVID area. That's good. So I'll go all the way. So Grace was born. Grace had Down syndrome. She was born on September 22nd of 2002. And so that means, you know, rewind 9 months, December 22nd of 2001. You know, that was a good day, right? There will be a test later as to what the meaning of that is for the biology students. Anyway, so now you fast forward, and we had 19 years with an angel, Tim. I mean, she was a gift from God, the best thing he ever gave us, second to salvation. And we ended up taking her into a hospital in October of 2021 because we were following the less evil protocol of the frontline COVID critical care doctors. And I say less evil because God's way is not part of Satan's dialectic process of evil versus less evil. God's way is always outside of those things. And so that less evil protocol we were following motivated us to buy a pulse oximeter. We were measuring Grace's oxygen saturation. It dropped to 88% the morning of October 6th. The protocol said to take her to the hospital because that's an emergency. And unfortunately, that event, if I would have never taken Grace to the hospital, she'd be alive today. So why did I take her? And that's what you mentioned in your open, is I took her because of fear. I had bought into the fear propaganda of the COVID PSYOP, and that fear motivated me to follow the less evil protocol, ultimately take Grace to the hospital. And 7 days later, she was dead. And the fact is, if I would not have had that fear, and if I would not have taken Grace to the hospital, she'd be alive today because she went in with nothing more than a cold. And it, through the process of 7 days, I was with her in the hospital. We were one of the rare families that were with Grace other than for 47 hours. That 47 hours is because they took me out by an armed guard on October 10th. The 47 hours that Grace did not have an advocate in the room, they chose to sedate her instead of taking care of her. And by the time we get into Grace's last day on this earth, which was October 13th of 2021, they had already sedated her for 5 days. Then they combined the sedation med Presidex with lorazepam and morphine, which is what you do to euthanize somebody in hospice care. And when it came time to revive Grace, our daughter Jessica was in the room. My wife Cindy and I were on a FaceTime call with Jessica, all screaming to the staff to save our daughter. And they stood outside the hallway and screamed back, "She's DNR, do not resuscitate." The doctor had put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's chart that morning, simultaneous with hanging up the phone with Cindy and I that morning, Tim. And during that call that morning, he had said to us, "Grace had such a good day yesterday. We should work on nutrition. We should get Grace out of bed today, get her bowels moving. So in the next several days, we can get her out of here." And yeah, you know, he put the DNR order on after the call.
Scott, hang on just a second. We're up against a break here. We'll be right back with Scott Shara. More about his daughter, Grace, right for this. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Hang on.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Did you know that George Barna's research group recently found that after surveying pastors from across the country, that less than 10% of them preach out against the issues that they know that they should address? And when we look at the said representatives in the halls of government, well, need I say any more? Are we as a nation ready to take responsibility for righting the wrongs? Join us Friday, March 21st at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl. Hope to see you there.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Peter Marshall, chaplain of the United States Senate from 1902 to 1949, he said, "The choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it now is, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government." Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, "In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it."
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. We've got with us Scott Shara, and he's sharing with us a story about grace. Now, Scott, one of the things you said there is you guys were being told what was going on, and you're screaming through the phone to the hospital staff, "Save our daughter," and they're going, "She's got a DNR, do not resuscitate." Now, nobody in your family approved that, and not only that, but they had given her a cocktail of drugs. Some of these drugs are things that my understanding is they're used in lethal injections. And they had given her above and beyond any dosage that they were even supposed to give her. Am I correct in that? Am I remembering that right? Do you want to go ahead and continue what you were saying before we interrupted at the break?
Sure, you've got some of that right. The lethal okay. injection meds actually weren't used on Grace. The meds that they used on Grace is what they use in hospice care in the last hour of somebody's life when they're trying to, you know, basically hasten death.
Okay.
Is from what I've learned with hospice care. The DNR, what we've learned in deposition testimony, it's real interesting, Tim, because we've gone through 40 depositions. We are preparing for trial now every single day. The trial starts June 2nd. And in the deposition testimony, because my wife Cindy and I would not, they requested four different times for us to give them a pre-authorization for a ventilator. And they framed that discussion always in the context of, These type of things tend to happen in the middle of the night when we can't get a hold of the family. So we want you to pre-authorize a ventilator just in case. And I had done the ventilator research for the first time when I was in the hospital with Grace. I went in the hospital under the ventilator paradigm that was sold to us by Trump that, you know, we have a ventilator shortage. We have to implement the War Powers Act, you know, which now when I see it, I mean, that was all part of the PSYOP. But anyway, I had found out that ventilators had a 90% kill rate, so we weren't going to give the pre-authorization. Well, because of that, they labeled Grace do not intubate, DNI. And under deposition testimony, we learned that internally the hospital treated somebody that was DNI. It was the equivalent of DNR. So that's why the doctor labeled Grace DNR. I mean, that's illegal. And that's one of the main reasons we're seeing Grace's case as an opportunity for the rest of the country. These illegal DNRs have been common. You know, when I first found it in Grace's records, Tim, I thought it was an anomaly. But as I started speaking out, I saw, oh my gosh, this is all over the place. In fact, one story, when I first started speaking out very early on, over 3 years ago, I did an article for Wisconsin Christian News. And then, you know, you had Rob Pugh on in the commercial break. And in that article, I was explaining this illegal DNR, and a nurse called the writer of the article and told her that I was lying because doctors don't do that. Well, interestingly, that same nurse called the reporter back 2 years later and said he's not lying. And so the reporter inquired as to what she's talking about. She said, I'm the power of attorney for my dad, and I just reviewed his chart, and the doctor put an illegal DNR on my dad, even though I'm the medical power of attorney. And so I asked the reporter to broker a call that I could have with this nurse, and she did. And I had the nurse on the phone, so I asked her about it, and then I said, you know, would you go on the radio and podcast with me, because I'm just a dad. You're a nurse. Your testimony would be substantially more credible than mine, and we're trying to save lives. And she said, well, I can't do that. I said, well, what's the reason? She said, I'm only 1 year away from retirement, and that would jeopardize my retirement. And this is, you know, a person who tells me they're a Christian. And this is what I find, you know, I just, there's almost nobody with a backbone in this country anymore, Tim. I mean, you know that. It's very frustrating to speak out and not have people. Here's an obvious one. That lady could have saved 10 times more lives than I've been involved saving because she's more credible than me. I, you know, my degree is DAD. I don't have anything.
Ugh. Yeah, well, one of the things that I want people to understand is I remember the first time that you and I talked, and I knew you were a believer and such. You expressed that. You expressed your desire that these people would be stopped from doing what they're doing and that many of them would come to know the Lord Jesus. And I want to see that too. And part of that is not only exposing what's going on, but bringing justice to it to stop it, to bring it to a stop. And you've been on this journey for now a couple of years. And I've watched you grow. Every time you come back on, I'm just like, wow, Lord's really opening in Scott's eyes here to a lot of things. And I think you're a big help to a lot of people. There's probably other people who are waiting in the wings or either filing their own lawsuits, excuse me, and they're watching what you're doing. So you're informing them of things of what to look for. And I don't know if you've gotten people to get back with you or not, but where are things at right now? Because we're a couple of years down the road. This is what had happened to your daughter. I believe everything that I've seen, I think you do too. We referred to it as medical murder. That's what it's not negligence. They did it purposefully because they knew they shouldn't have been giving the things. What's gone on since you started taking up all the research, you've got your own channel now you're doing, Deprogramming with Grace's Dad. People can find that on Rumble. You've got ouramazinggrace.net and of course, graceshara.com. That people can go and they can get all kinds of information. I think the hub is ouramazinggrace.net if people want to check that out. But what's going on now? You've had to come through. You've had to put all this stuff together. What's happened since you started putting the pieces together as far as this lawsuit is concerned?
Okay, so I'm going to frame – that's a great question. It has a long answer. I'm going to frame the answer first to tell people this is a civil case. It's not a criminal case. So a civil case is not about justice. In theory, a criminal case is about justice, assuming that the district attorney does their job with an investigation and hasn't been bought. But even then, that's still in the Antichrist legal system. This is not God's way that justice would be performed. But God called us into this system, I believe, for a reason. And I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, I'm learning what it is, and I'm exposing the things that I've learned by being called into the system, specifically that the legal system is in bed with the medical industrial complex. And I can give you many examples of that after I answer your question. So we filed the lawsuit, a civil case for wrongful death, on April 11th of 2023. We'll go to jury trial June 2nd, 2025. So that took over 2 years just to walk through this entire legal process, which is, you know, many, many motions to dismiss. Praise God, the judge denied all the motions to dismiss. The last motion to dismiss was heard on October 30th of 23. Then we went into discovery, and that's where we had 40 depositions, interrogatories. And now all the final filings are taking place. In fact, we have a group of filings due this Friday and another one due on Monday. And then that ends our filings on the case. And the judge has a two-day hearing set for pretrial, May 19th and 20th, and then the jury trial starts June 2nd. So why do I say justice is not going to happen in a civil trial? Because the best case scenario is we receive a check. So how can a check for my daughter's death ever be justice, especially when the doctor doesn't even write the check? The insurance company, by state statute, the doctor has to have medical malpractice insurance, and the medical malpractice insurance company is one that writes the check. So the doctor has virtually no skin in the game other than his time under deposition testimony and his time in trial testimony. So it's ridiculous. He doesn't even lose his license. One of the things that got me into this, Tim, and realized that we should at least be exposing what's going on, is I filed a complaint with the medical examining board against the doctor and ultimately the nurse, but the doctor who did this to Grace with the illegal DNR and the med combination. And they wrote back and said they did an investigation. The doctor did nothing wrong. Well, that was the first day I was waking up to, I wonder if they're all in on this. The lawsuit itself, Tim, is five claims: wrongful death, of course, medical malpractice, of course, lack of informed consent. That's a biggie. And lack of informed consent by precedent. So legal precedent is another unlawful thing. So court cases establish what we have to follow legally. That doesn't mean it's right. And here's a great example. So lack of informed consent means the doctor didn't tell you the whole truth and it caused harm. Well, by states, by precedent, prior lawsuits, that became part of medical malpractice. So underneath the state statutory limit of $750,000 for a wrongful death for medical malpractice. So then our fourth claim, which this is the biggest
Scott, hang
claim.
On, if we hang on there. Hang on just a second. We got a break coming up. Guys,
no problem.
Catch us on the other side, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Be right back.
Have you ever listened to someone speak and have felt completely captivated, basically unable to look away and hanging on every word? The kind of speaker whose passion, knowledge drives and stirs something deep within you, making your heart race and your mind question everything you thought you knew? Well, if so, you're in for a wild ride. This show isn't for the faint of heart. It's actually for the bold, the thinkers, the patriots, and the truth seekers who care to face these uncomfortable realities. Welcome to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean. It's a show that will challenge you, awaken you, and make you see the whole world in a new way. Bradley is a force of nature, uncompromising, fearless. He's ready to rock the boat. It's time to tune in to find out why this program is shaking up the airwaves and sparking conversations everywhere. Don't miss out. Visit bbsradio.com/sonsoflibertyradio and discover why Bradley Dean is a true boat rocker.
Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
BBSradio.com.
A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. E. Stanley Jones said, grace binds you with far stronger cords than the cords of duty or obligation can bind you. Grace is free, but once you once take it, you are bound forever to the giver and bound to catch the spirit of the giver. Grace makes you gracious. The giver makes you give.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. On the line, I've got with me Scott Sciarra. He is affectionately known as Grace's dad, and he's been telling us a little bit about what has gone on as far as what happened to his daughter, a little bit about what's gone on in the legal system. Scott, I understand this issue is in the civil matter is going to be about, you know, ending and either finding, I guess they use the term guilty. I think they use guilty and not guilty. But they use it in a different matter. It's not going to be something where the state's going to step in and do anything, basically. They're just going to give an award. And if I'm not mistaken, you've also told me that's at a cap. That there's a it's actually pretty small for somebody's life. I mean, when you look at it. But there's a cap on that. And then the question I have is, you know, if they find them guilty in the civil case, would that not put pressure on a prosecutor if the evidence is overwhelming, which I believe it is, to show that these people did so purposefully, then wouldn't it put pressure on the prosecutor to come in with a criminal charge here?
Well, we're hoping for that. You know, a civil case is not about intent. It's simply about whether the action that the person took caused the result, and in this case, death. So that's what a civil case is about. And, you know, that's, I was at, before break, I was getting into our fourth claim, which is battery. And that's a huge claim because it hasn't been litigated in 60 years. And the reason is through tort reform, they put these blockades in place to protect doctors. And so if we win the battery claim, that does not have a state statutory limit. So that's the most important claim for the rest of the country. And the fifth claim is the illegal DNR. And that is, of course, a claim for the entire country. We've already pledged that if we win, any money that we receive is going into Grace's nonprofit. So we're not taking anything personally. So then, you know, why did we do this? If we're not taking the money, you know, the reason is because God opened this door and we promised him when we got into him that any door that he opens, we'll walk through. So then, you know, what does justice look like then? Since this civil case is not about justice, because it can't be. You cannot get justice in an antichrist system, right? It doesn't make any sense. So what I see justice as is it's multiple things. Number one is repentance. If you just think about the repentance of one doctor or nurse would do more than the 1,100 shows I've been on trying to tell people about this. Second is stopping the behavior. You know, when doctors and nurses see that they can be individually held accountable for battery, that has the potential to stop behavior and have people realize we don't get a free pass anymore. Third is shedding God's light on this evil. I mean, that's what we're called to do. He wants us to do that. And all of us have that responsibility. And I've said, you know, this will sound foolish to most people, but they ask, well, what do you want out of this? And I have said many times, I want one thing, and that is it. That's all I want out of this. And that is Grace's death certificate changed to the truth. You know, we live in a free market economy, you know, in theory, but as it applies to hospital systems, if we are able to get the mainstream media in the courtroom so that we can live stream this case, that will change the entire dynamic in the country because people will see what happens behind the curtain in a hospital setting for the first time with this trial. And in that system, we can shut down hospitals because people won't go. If people know what is going on behind the walls of those hospitals, they won't go anymore and they will find alternatives. Hopefully they find God in the process because God is the ultimate alternative.
Well, hopefully God finds them. He's the one who goes and seeks and saves the lost, right? And I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping for that in the midst of this too. But if we don't stop people from doing this deliberately and killing other people, then that's on us. And it's just going to increase. It's going to embolden the people to say, well, we got away with it one time. You made mention in one of the shows that we did, specifically, I think there was a Zoom meeting going on, and you mentioned that after the fact, when the judge allowed things to go forward, that one of the nurses that were there saying, "Oh, they're going to come after all of us with this," because they realized then it's a pretty serious matter. And one of the things that you've come across with is this: you've been using this term "medical murder," and we did a show on that as well. You and I did the things that you had discovered out of that. Is it really the number one killer in America?
By far, there's 1.7 million annual deaths by medical murder. So to give you a perspective of what that means, that's 61% of the 2.6 million annual deaths in America today. So 61% are by medical murder. So why do I say that 1.7 million? Well, there's 700,000 deaths annually by heart disease, 600,000 by cancer, and 400,000 by medical deaths in hospitals. All right, so just peel apart these numbers. So I'm not talking about the poisoning of our water, the poisoning of our food, the poisoning of our air, the vaccine agenda, which is the cause of cancer, the poisoning of our food, water, air, cause of heart disease. You know, I'm not even talking about that, Tim. I'm talking about the treatments for those things. And so, for example, the treatment for heart disease, I'm very familiar with this because I was diagnosed with heart disease 7 years ago. And the treatment protocol is the statin. Well, the statin is designed to give you a heart attack. It's designed to lower your cholesterol and cause Alzheimer's. You know, praise God, I did the research and I rejected the statin. So the statin, the protocol for heart disease is the statin actually becomes then the killer that is the largest number of the 1.7 million annually. So then take number two, cancer. The standard of care, which doctors are immune from liability if they follow the standard of care. The standard of care for cancer, everybody knows, you can say it on top of your head. It's they either can do surgery, radiate, or chemo. And if a doctor recommends anything outside of the standard of care, he will lose his license. So they have you bound by that standard of care. And the population is programmed to trust the doctor. So when the doctor does your biopsy and says you have cancer, and recommends you start chemo the next week, the only question on the person's mind is, does my insurance cover it? Well, yeah, your insurance covers it because the insurance company is in bed with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So cancer, the chemo treatment for cancer has a 2.1% success rate. That means it's a 97.9% kill rate. So the cancer deaths are caused by the treatment. So that's why I'm saying medical murder is the number one cause of death in America. It's not even a question, because their standards of care are designed to literally kill us. And I mean, you know, it's part of a much bigger agenda, the population reduction agenda. And what my most recent research, Tim, I've been framing this as Escaping Babylon. And Escaping Babylon has two tentacles to it. One is the physical escape and the other one is the spiritual escape. And that follows the pattern that God gave us in Revelation 13 with the Antichrist system and the false prophet system. So in the Antichrist system, the systems of the world, the medical industrial complex is simply one of those systems that's designed to trap us. So we can get free medical care when we turn 65. That's a trap. These are all traps that were designed to enslave us, and we give up our birthright for protection from the state. And the state is a linear tentacle of Satan's minions. So the state is designed to take us out with the population reduction agenda. Then on the false prophet side, we have religion takes people out spiritually. I mean, Jesus Christ, we just celebrated the most important day on the Christian calendar, which is the day Jesus rose from the dead. Well, Jesus Christ was the most anti-religious person who ever walked the face of the earth. And so Satan has developed all these denominations, and people become religious with their denomination. And that was all designed to capture their soul spiritually. So Satan has both the physical and the spiritual sewed up with these mechanisms that he uses to trap people. And that's why I'm calling it Escaping Babylon. We're in Babylon. The first step in escaping is realizing you're in it. So if we're in Babylon, shouldn't we want to get out? And yeah, so that's what I've been working on in my research. Now I put a hold on the research because we're hot and heavy into the trial at this moment. So you can look forward to that. I did post the physical escape of Babylon on my Deprogramming with Grace's Dad channel about 2 months ago. So you can look for that. But the spiritual escape, I don't think I'm going to have time to finish till after the trial, Tim.
Yeah, well, that's an ongoing thing. And I mean, you're going to be pulling up. And there's a lot of good information that you were sharing out of those kinds of things. You know, one of the things that we reiterate here constantly on the Sons of Liberty, and I know you said the particular case you're looking at now is not justice, but that is one of the things, because it's the character of God. I mean, we not only see God's love demonstrated in the death of Christ, which Paul tells the believers at Rome, that God demonstrated his love. They don't have to ask whether God loved them. They were believers in him because of the demonstration of his love. And how was that? He sent Christ to die while they were sinners. Not when they got good, not when they cleaned up, not when they, you know, got all dressed up and decked out to go to the temple. No, he saved them while they were in their sin, and he saved them from their sin. He didn't leave them in their sin. He took them out of it. He cleaned them up. And so this is a big deal. His justice is demonstrated there. We're to be those who emulate that. I mean, we're called to seek first his righteousness, and there's an extension of that's his justice. What is right and wrong? What has he held the standard to us for? And so we've got to be those who uphold that standard. You're doing that in this matter, and that's why we're happy to hear from you, even though it's a bad situation that's going on. We'll be right back. Final segment coming up here with Scott Shara. You can check him out at ouramazinggrace.net for more, and we'll be right back. Hang on.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at christianmediaconference.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life, books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today.
BBSRadio.com.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Welcome back. Final segment here on the Sons of Liberty. And just take you over here real quick to graceshara.com. Graceshara.com. That's S-C-H-A-R-A for you guys on the radio. Graceshara.com. You can sign up there. Scott had said this is where they're directing people now so that you can get signups, you can get updates on what's going on, because that lawsuit, the trial is coming up here soon. So if you want to be keep abreast of the information that's there, graceshara.com will make mention of it hopefully before the end of the show. But I did want to bring that up real quick. And, you know, Scott, one of the things that I want to ask you is, you know, you talked about being in Babylon, and boy, I have told Bradley so many times, I want out of this system. And when I mean out of the system, I want out of the economic system. I want out of its religious system. I want out of the whole thing, because it doesn't offer me anything but trouble as far as I see. And it's become tyrannical. You were talking about them doing a tort reform in order to protect the doctors. I got to ask people, where in the Constitution do these guys have the authority to institute something like that to protect vaccine manufacturers and doctors? I mean, These are the same people wanting to go after gun manufacturers for what criminals do, not what the gun manufacturer does. But apparently the salesmen for the pharmaceuticals, the doctors who get bonuses from them, the nurses who inject with them or give them out, all those guys get a pass. That we got to protect those guys, but we're going to go after you gun manufacturers. I mean, you talk about talking out of both sides of your mouth here as to what's going on. But on, you know, a gun manufacturer is held accountable if somebody goes out there and they shoot it and there's something wrong with the manufacturer and the gun explodes and they get hurt or something, the gun manufacturer can be held accountable. I think we could all understand that. But why would you hold a gun manufacturer accountable if a person takes out and uses the product that they made unlawfully? Well, you wouldn't. So what about in this case here? How are people to, what would you say is the thing that they need to be looking at to get out of this, since it's set up by design? How do they get out of it?
Well, I want to make sure people understand how we got in it, and then I'm going to just close with that. But, you know, grayshare.com, you mentioned that, Tim. On the upper left-hand corner, we have a button that says fill the courtroom. That's our immediate goal. We want to have the courtroom packed every day of the trial. So when you hit that button, you'll see instructions on how to sign up if you can attend the trial. We'd really appreciate that. So how do we get in this? Babylon first, and then I'm going to talk about how to get out. Well, I have 4,000 hours of research in this, Tim, right now. And, you know, in your open, you quoted Spurgeon about the axe to the root of the tree. And how what I call this 120-year overview I'm going to give is the head of the snake. They are never going to cut off the head of the snake because it took them 120 years, actually longer than that, to build it. But I'm going to go through 120 years real quick in 14 steps. Number one, 1905, Jacobson versus Massachusetts legalized collectivism. Number two, 1910, the Flexner Report sold us the lie of trust the science, allopathic medicine instead of all alternative opportunities that were available at the time. 1933, fiat currency allowed them to buy anybody that they want with money that's not real. 1935, number four, Social Security. We turned over our responsibility for our finances to the government to take care of us in retirement. We sold our birthright financially. 1965, number five, we sold our medical birthright to Medicare, free healthcare from the government. 1980, Health and Human Services Department took over the whole process of the medical industrial complex. They did that with number seven, the Chevron Doctrine, in 1984. So they could do all of this stuff legally. This has nothing to do with the Constitution, as you said, but it's all legal. And that's the problem. Legal is not lawful.
Well, let's look at that just for a second. I don't mean to interrupt you, but let's clarify that, because legal does mean lawful. That's what it means in the definition. But what they've done is they presented it as though it's lawful, as though it's legal. You know, our forefathers called this out in the Declaration of Independence when they said they have instituted pretended legislation, or it's pretended law. And then they want to drag us across the sea to hold us, you know, for a trial for pretended crimes. Why? Because the law is not legal. It's not lawful. It's pretended. It has the color of law, but it's not law. And under our laws in the Constitution, I forget the exact code, but I used to cite all the time, was these kinds of things end up being things that can even lead up to the penalty of death for these guys acting like it's law when it's not. I'm sorry. I just want to clarify that.
That's very good, Tim. Thank you for that.
Yep.
All right, number eight, in 1980s, the whole standard of care model that I had explained earlier, like with cancer, was developed. In 1986, you already mentioned this, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, that eliminated downstream liability for all these fake vaccines that the pharmaceutical companies manufacture. Then in the 80s and 90s, there were a series of laws that put in place the whole idea of public health emergency. So the Chevron Doctrine combined with public health emergencies puts the entire country under lockdown whenever they want it to be. In 1997, the Clintons gave us the merger of Social Security and Medicare. And so now if you take Social Security because you have to or you want to because you paid into it your whole life, you're automatically in bed with Medicare. Number 12 in 2005, the PREP Act. So So now whenever there's a public health emergency, they institute the PREP Act. So whatever they deem as required countermeasures to fight this, you know, PSYOP they put together, the doctors have immunity from liability for following those protocols. In 2010, number 13, Obamacare, that legalized the euthanasia agenda. And finally, in 2012, number 14, the repeal of the Smith-Mundt Act. So then this idea with COVID, we saw they used the bioweapon and said it's safe and effective. That lie will never be prosecuted because by the repeal of the Smith-Mundt Act, the United States government can lie to its own citizens. They can use propaganda against their own citizens, and that is now legal. So those 14 steps, when you realize you got sucked into it, so you turned over your birthright, so now you start realizing, okay, I'm in Babylon. I didn't even realize I was in it. So now you can get out. And the first step to get out is the same step that we all have to do, is realize what was our part in this. And then you repent of your part and now you're ready to get out. So things that look to me are promising when you get out is drop your medical insurance. You don't need it. We have some coverage through Samaritan's Ministries, but I'm not even promoting that. The reason I chose that model was because they were not subscribed to any of the Medicare, Medicaid rules. I would encourage people to find a medical provider who does not take Medicare or Medicaid. If they take Medicare or Medicaid, by definition, they are in the system. We have a resource tab on Grace's website called The Wedge, and The Wedge are all doctors and nurses who have gotten out of the allopathic medical system and are cash only doctors and nurses. So I'd encourage people to do that. Get your paperwork in order. There's never been a set of paperwork that can save somebody's life. But the reality is that if you do not have your medical power of attorney done and your medical directives done, you become a ward of the hospital when you're in there in 35 states, because 35 states do not have next of kin statutes. Wisconsin is one of them. So you go into a hospital without your paperwork, the hospital becomes the decision maker for your care, because they don't buy, there is no statute that requires them to call the next of kin. Well, you can't make this stuff up. So anyway, they're not going to cut off the head of the snake. You've got to realize it yourself that you participated in all of these deceptions, and then you can get out. So that's my soapbox, Tim.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good thing. I think people do have to realize, and then they have to be like, well, you've led an example there, Scott. The people have seen your repentance. They've heard it from your mouth. They've seen it in your actions. And I think that's the testimony. You know, the Bible says that we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And you've demonstrated that in what you've said. And you've demonstrated in what the blood of the Lamb has delivered you from, which was sin. And part of that you mentioned before, fear. And that's something I want people to really grasp in the midst of this. How does a father so graciously go about doing this, just pushing it out there, keep pushing it out there, keep researching, keep informing people and doing that, and has the goal in mind that he has? How does he do that? I can tell you. It's by grace. It's by God's grace. It is the unmerited favor that empowers us by his Spirit to do those things that are pleasing to him. Scott, we got about 30 seconds here. Will you tell people about graceshara.com real quick, where they can sign up and get info?
Yep, that's all I'm asking people to do. Go to graceshara.com, S-C-H-A-R-A. You'll see a button called Fill the Courtroom. That will take you to our process in the sign-up link to fill all 15 days of the jury trial, June 2nd through the 20th. And we'd really appreciate it if you do that. You can also sign up at graceshara.com, and we'll keep you updated via email.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Hang on, I'll say goodbye to you off air. We'll see you guys in the morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. Talk to you then.